Would you please kneel with me in a word of prayer? Our most kind and loving Father, we desire to come before Thee now to give You thanks for the many blessings of life. We're grateful, Father, for this beautiful day that we have to come and to worship Thee. I do ask and pray that You might forgive us and where we have sinned before Thee, and You might strengthen us, Father, each one against Satan and his deceptive ways. Oh, Father, I do pray that You be with our brother as he stands before us now at this time, that Your Spirit would be with him, that as he is presenting those thoughts in which You've given him, that he'd be able to do so according to Thy perfect will. I pray, Father, You might prepare our hearts and our minds that we might be able to receive those words in gladness. Oh, Father, I do pray that You would be with Amy as she is administered to this morning, that You would pour out a blessing upon her and her particular need. I pray also that You be mindful of the many that have been mentioned, of those of our loved ones that are in need of Thy strength and healing power to rest upon each. Now, Father, we do thank You for Your protection over our loved ones, especially in the faraway places, our missionaries in the fields. And I pray that You might bless that work in which they're endeavoring to do for Thee. And I pray these things and give You thanks always in the name of Thy Son, Jesus. Amen. Take care of Amy. They might bring forth those things that God would have us to hear this morning. So I would like to present to you our pastor, Brother Bob Hedrick.
Thank you, Gordon. Good morning. Hope you're all having a good day. I have to admit my heart's beating a little faster than normal when I get up here. Concerning the message that I feel that's been put upon me to bring to you, I'm unlike our brother Glenn. I respect him very much, and I try to emulate some of the things he does. But to be able to have a sermon prepared a week in advance is foreign to my understanding or my abilities. So, okay, you got the title. Well, that's an important. That's a good place to start. But I do felt touched this week in my studies. And led into a certain direction that I hope will be fruitful. Hope that you will find some benefit in. I don't know what to do except to just jump in and go from there. I'm going to use, for the basis of my sermon, we're going to hop around a little bit in different places. But we're going to spend most of our time in the 31st chapter of Proverbs. And the 10th through the 31st verses. And some of you probably recognize what this is talking about before I even start reading. And I would like to preface my comments by saying that this is not directed to any particular individual or group of individuals. Okay? But it's something that hopefully we'll be able to grow together a little bit and learn. The Proverbs in the 31st chapter, 10th verse. I'm just going to read the whole thing, and then we're going to come back and pick it apart a little bit and talk about some things. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. He will do him good and not evil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships, and bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is not yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field, and buyeth it, and with the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good, her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry, her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto this merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. So yes, that's what we're going to talk about this morning, is a virtuous woman. This is actually a poem. In the Hebrew, this whole reference starts with a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet and goes through the whole Hebrew alphabet in order. And every verse it starts that way, and it's a Hebraic poem. And each one of those things, and in our understanding, it kind of hops around to different things. But I'm going to try and narrow it down to a few basic characteristics of a virtuous woman. And I thought about it, and I took off my tomato repellent jacket before I started. And I don't want it to sound like I'm picking on any gender. But today I was going to talk about this, and some other time I'll work on the men. But I feel like it's the men's job is also to help support the women. I know that many of you had the opportunity to go back to Missouri for the retreat and were blessed in that endeavor, but not everybody got a chance to. And so I'd like to have the ability just to talk about some basic concepts and characteristics of this virtuous woman for your benefit and mine as well. So, let's talk about that. 10th verse, who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? You know what? In the world today, a virtuous woman is very scarce. The things that we're going to talk about, you don't find down at the 7-Eleven at midnight. You don't find them. They're not blue light specials at Kmart. You can't just go down and pick one up anywhere. You got to seek them and find them. And when you find them, they're valuable. And you do whatever you can to take care of it, to keep it. But let's start on some of these characteristics. Hopefully you can. By the way, anybody check their email the other day and got that tribute that Manon wrote for Jean Chapman? That was a virtuous woman. And that was so cool. I really enjoyed that. I grew up with her, and she was a virtuous woman. I don't want to hold anybody up as being infallible or anything, but she had some very good characteristics. First one I'm going to talk about is in the 11th and 12th verses. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Her conduct is going to be good for the good of her husband, to please him. Guys are going, yeah, that's right. Well, that's not the attitude we're supposed to have, and we'll talk about that some other time. But those ladies who have decided to marry, if they haven't decided to marry, their devotion should be to God. But those that have entered into a covenant to marry, says that she will do him good and not evil. She conducts herself in such a way that he is blessed. In other scriptures, it talks about being devoted, submission. Oh, that's one we kind of arch our backs at sometime. That's scripture. And she conducts herself in such a way that he can safely trust in her. You know what? He goes off to work, he's not worried about what's going on at home. He has to go to Mexico for 2 weeks, and he's not worried about what happens at home. Knowing that whatever comes up, she'll be able to handle. That she won't do anything that will bring about discredit to the family, his reputation, his name. In the 23rd verse, it says, her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. That he's respected by the actions of his wife, by the way his home is run. That trust is absolutely required in a marriage. Absolutely required. A trust that you don't have to be there every single moment. That this individual doesn't require constant supervision. That she has the same goals for the husband's family as well. She shares those goals. A happy home. Financial security. Those are all common goals. And when a woman makes a covenant with the Lord and marries a man, they should be able to share those common goals. Conducts herself in such a way that she trusts her. Chastity. Turn over to Genesis in the 3rd chapter, where it all begins. 16th verse. This is after the Adam and Eve had messed up and God found them out. And he's cursing them. Kicking them out. Evicting them from Eden. 16th verse says, "Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee." The desire that the woman is not her own personal goals are secondary to her husband's and her family's. Her hopes, her dreams are bound up in this family unit. That's the characteristic of a virtuous woman. 1 Corinthians in the 7th chapter. In the 34th verse. Talks about the difference between someone who's married and someone who has chosen not to marry. 34th verse says, "There's a difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman cares for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy, both in body and in spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband." Her desire is to her husband. Her desires are for to be able to share his goals. Her desires are to make a home, a strong financial unit or a spiritual unit. So that's the first characteristic. Devotion. Or submission. To the husband. If they desired to marry. Next characteristic of a virtuous woman. 13th verse says, "She seeketh wool and flax, worketh willingly with her hands." She's industrious. Being a woman is hard work. I know. Liza went to Minnesota for a week. That is work. It's hard work to make a house a home. To run a family and to meet the daily needs. And I had lots of help. But there's several different verses in here that expound on this. The 13th is, first of all, she works willingly. It's not grudgingly. It's like, "Oh, I'm the wife. I have to go do this. What do you want for breakfast? Fruit Loops, tater tots, whatever. Oh, it's time to do the laundry." She works willingly. Doing things for her husband and for her family. For the home. Because that's her desires. Are to make a place that her children can grow and learn about God. Her children can grow and be loved. Her children can grow up and not end up on Jerry Springer or living in a van down by the river, but they can grow up to learn about God and know Him and walk with Him. And when she sees that as her goal, it's like, it's willingly sacrifices and wants and to help the family. Hopping over in the 27th verse, "She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness." The bread of idleness, that's something we don't really talk about so much, but it's where, you know, we really don't have to work really hard for our food. It's not like we're out there busting up the ground and trying to grow wheat and trying to make the bread and everything else. We can pretty much go down the store and buy whatever we want. And have lots of free time. This one says she doesn't eat the bread of idleness. She keeps herself busy with things of the Lord. Things of the Lord. She's always working for the family. The biggest thing is that, you know, us guys have different ideas and we think different things, but, you know, I picture the bread of idleness is sitting on the couch watching soap operas, eating bonbons in their pink furry slippers and everything. But that's not the virtuous woman. The virtuous woman is, like I said, works willingly and works hard for the family. She uses her time wisely. In the 18th verse, she perceiveth her merchandise is good, and her candle goeth not out by night. That means when a man may work from sun to sun, but a woman's work is never done. That, you know what, just because the sun goes down, that there's still work to be done. There's another one. Where is it? 15th verse. She rises up while it is yet night to give meat to her household. She's up before the dawn. Laboring. Being industrious. Working. I don't want it to sound like, well, you know what? Well, the sunrise was at 7:38 today. I know because I was there. And you had to be up there by 7:37 or you were not a virtuous woman. And that's not what I want to get across. The whole idea of many of these scriptures is the attitude of willingly working. Willingly seeing something that needs to be done and laboring. Verse 17. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. There's a symbol of beauty. The whole idea, though, is that when she does something, she doesn't give it half an effort. If she is going to do whatever, she's going to give it all of her effort, all of her strength. If she is going to get married, the marriage gets all of her strength. If she's going to have children, the children get all of her strength. If she's going to clean the house. She cleans the house with all of her strength. If anything is worth doing, it's worth doing right. It's worth doing well. It's worth being able to say, you know, it's and the 31st fruit. We'll talk about that later. But some of the things that we can look back and say, yeah, this was the fruit of my hands, my labors. You know, the craftsman that sands off and stains the underneath of the desk that nobody's going to see, that's inside where it's never seen, but he knows. And his devotion to quality and making sure he does the best he can do, that's what he does. And that's the same thing that the virtuous woman does. She uses the strength that she has willingly. Talking about that up early and up late, there was an old saying we don't use much anymore of like a great work or a great masterpiece, that it smells of the lamp. That means it took a lot of effort, a lot of late nights working by lamplight. A lot of time and effort. and not sitting back, letting somebody else do the work. Not sitting back looking to be served. Being industrious. In the 16th verse, it says, she considereth the field. Considereth the field. That means that she has the ability to go out and look at a piece of land and say, do I want to buy this or not? Let me think. Do I have the money? Do I have the time? Do I have the resources? If I do, will it turn a profit? Those are all things that go into considering a field. Here she says she buys it, and with the fruit of her hand, she plants a vineyard. Not all of a virtuous woman's work is in a home. There are places where they can contribute to the income of the family. They're industrious. But whether they labor at home or they labor outside of the home, the benefit is for the home. It's not for, I want this career so I can feel better about being a woman. The goal is for the home. I like to do this and make this and this so I can feel better and I can feel proud about what I can do. And then I can sell it and I can buy stuff for me. No, it's for the home. The desires of their hearts to the home, to the husband. Number three. Which is similar to number two, because you can't do number three without being number two. She takes good care of her household, whoever she's responsible for. Verse 27, she looketh well to the ways of her household. She considers it, watches out for them, making sure that they have what they need. 15th verse, we'll read that. She rises also while it is night and giveth meat to her household. Making sure they have whatever the physical needs of life are. She takes care of them because that's her desire, is towards her home, towards her husband, because they have the similar goals. First verse, she is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all of her household is clothed with scarlet. That scarlet is a thick double layer of clothing, nice and warm. She's not worried about her family being cold in the winter. She's not worried about them getting hungry. She's taking good care of them. She's providing for them. The husband's out there making the money, but she's the one that spends it. Wisely, to make sure that their needs are met. The goal of the husband and the goal of the wife have to be for the better for the household. They have to share those goals. Verse 22, she maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. She said it's kind of like turning a house into a home. Making it a nice place. You know, tapestry are the things that they used to hang on the walls of castles. Keeps the walls from being so cold during the winter. And their decoration are nice, pretty pictures to look at. She maketh her house a nice place. A kind of a refuge from the world. a place where her children and her husband can come out of the world and not be assaulted by it, a refuge, place of escape. Her clothing is silk and purple. It's clean. It's good quality. But it doesn't say anything about being real showy. Isaiah in the third chapter kind of expounds on the misuse of that. The 16th verse. Moreover, the Lord saith, because the daughters of Zion are haughty and walk with stretched forth necks and wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they go, making a tinkling with their feet. Therefore, the Lord will smite with a scab the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion, and the Lord will discover their secret parts. In that day, the Lord will take away the bravery of their tinkling ornaments about their feet, and their cauls and their round tires like the moon. The chains and the bracelets and the mufflers and the bonnets and the ornaments of the legs and the headbands and the tablets and the earrings and the rings and the nose jewels. Ooh. The changeable suits of apparel and the mantles and the wimples and the crisping pins, the glasses and the fine linen and the hoods and the veils. Those are all, I don't know, I'm not going to pretend to know what all those things are. But I can tell from what they are that they're for adornment. So they can look pretty. And everyone can be impressed about how pretty they are. And how much wealth they have by what they're wearing. And that's not the attitude of a virtuous woman. That doesn't mean that she goes around wearing sackcloth and ashes. But it does mean that her clothing is modest. That it is clean, good quality, not ripped and shredded and holes. But it's simple. And it shall come to pass that instead of a sweet smell, there should be a stink. Instead of a girdle, a rent. And instead of a well-set hair, baldness. Ugh. And instead of a stomacher, a girding of sackcloth. And burning instead of beauty. And thy men shall fall by the sword, and thy mighty in the war. And her gate shall lament and mourn, and she being desolate shall sit upon the ground. Some of those things are spiritual things. A lot of times our spiritual things have outward displays. That when we're prideful in our heart, that sometimes it can come out in our actions and how we take care of ourselves. What we do, what we do or wear. But a virtuous woman isn't focused on trying to make herself, trying to impress the world by this is how much I have and this is what I have. The virtuous woman is trying to make sure she takes care of her household, making sure that they have clean clothes, clean shoes, they have a full tummy, ready to face the world. 20th verse. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, and she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. And that's number four. She's charitable to the poor and the needy. You know what? It's not just about her family that matters. There's a lot of people out there that don't have the blessings that we enjoy. And her heart and her efforts and her industry that we talked about in number two is to help the charitable and the poor. And it's not grudgingly. She stretches out her hands. She makes the effort to reach out to the poor and needy. Freely and cheerfully. I'm rapidly running out of time. I'm going to speed this up a little bit. Verse 26. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Her communication is discreet. and kind. Not gossiping. Not being a backbiter. Not saying, well, this person said this and this and this. And did you hear? And well, do you know what they said about you? We sometimes like to make fun of that. But it does serious damage. It hurts families. It hurts other people. But a virtuous woman doesn't do that. When something is told her in confidence, it's like her husband. It safely dwells in her. Her trust is there. It's unbreakable. Careful about every word that comes out of her mouth. Careful about the words, but still willing to speak the truth in love. We're commanded to do that as well, and sometimes that's hard. But we're commanded to. In her tongue is the law of kindness. Speaking the truth in love. Not as a dictator saying, well, you know what you need to do. You need to do this, 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 and this, and this. But as a friend. The affection of the friend. Think about it. When we can have control over our mouth and our tongue and what comes out of it, when we do speak, the words have more effect. There's respect. There's command. I know people at work. I know captains at work that spend all day yelling. And then when they really need to yell, their yells don't have any effect. Because the people have heard it all the time. And it doesn't mean anything. But when a woman can have the respect of those around about her, knowing that she is a woman of virtue, that the words that she speaks are coming from her heart and they're meant for their welfare. She delights to speak of godly things to teach her children. Devoted to her household, devoted to her husband, sharing the same goals. 30th verse. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. And this list isn't in order of preference. This is just in order they happen to come to me. This is probably the most important. If you can read that. Fear the Lord. That everything that she does in her life is governed by a certain set of principles of right and wrong about this is what God would expect me to do. It isn't about what I want to do, it's what God would expect me to do. Earlier in that verse, it says, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. Physical beauty does not point anyone to God. Physical beauty says, look at me. But a woman that fears of God and is a virtuous woman says, look at God. Guys, we're deceived by that a lot, aren't we? We see with human eyes, looking at physical beauty. That's the natural man. But a physical beauty is not an indication of wisdom or the Spirit of God. Beauty fades with age. It's a fact of life. But a virtuous woman grows. And strength. The end of beauty is death. Beauty is going to fade and get older and older and older until it dies, a physical death, because it's all about the outward show. But a virtuous woman grows, becomes more beautiful, and has eternal life. 1 Peter in the 3rd chapter. First verse. It's going to encompass some of the things we've already talked about, but also this overwhelming idea about fearing God. First verse says, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a weak and a quiet spirit, which is in a meek and a quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God, of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands." That fear of God is the foundation for that virtuous woman. And this reading also has some of the benefits, and I'll try and run through them real quick. 25th verse, strength and honor are her clothing. Strength and honor. That means when times are going to be difficult, she's going to have the spiritual strength and the moral strength to endure. She's going to be able to deal with difficult times because she knows. She has that eternal perspective. She's looking at her eternal life, not in this short-term physical life. That's a benefit we have in this life because we still have our hope. The spirit to bear up under many crosses and disappointments. You know, just because we're wise or virtuous doesn't mean we don't have problems. But being wise and virtuous means that we can handle those problems with God. And she shall rejoice in time to come. When she is old, she can take comfort that, you know, I believe that Jean Chapman could look back on her life and say, "I didn't waste it. I wasn't, she wasn't consumed with her own desires. That her legacy was carried on to another generation." She also this rejoicing time to come is after we die, is having a hope of eternal life. Verse 28, her children arise up and call her blessed. Just like that email. The Manon was able to list all these things that she learned from her mother, all the blessings that she saw, the example that she set, saying, "Yeah, my mom was blessed." When she's old, and her children will support her, pray for her, care for her, and they'll call her blessed and thank God for her. Thank God for my mom. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. That's a benefit that we can have. You know, everybody likes to be praised, especially by someone that we have a covenant with before God, that we're inseparably linked to hear that praise. That's a benefit. You know, she's earned those praises, but it doesn't say anywhere in this that she praises herself. "Boy, I'm a good wife. I'm a good mom. I'm a good woman." That's never written in here. But the fruit of her effort gives her praises. I hope that You find that beneficial because now comes the hard part. Now comes the hard part. Adam? Tony? Gordon? John? I want you to be a virtuous woman. Isaac? Andrew? Jesse? Bill? Dennis? I can name you all if you want me to. I want you to be a virtuous woman. Okay, get the cell phone out. Get the Council of Apostles. That Phoenix pastor, we need to do something with. You guys ready for it, to be a virtuous woman? And you guys are going, what in the world is he talking about? Turn to Ephesians. In the 5th chapter. Verse 22 says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be unto their own husbands in everything. I want all of you to be a virtuous woman. That's what that whole Proverbs thing about is. Is I'm trying to get across is we each should be that as a group. And the only way we get it as a group is to do it individually. When we can say the word devoted and submissive to our husband is Jesus Christ, and we're willing to submit ourselves to whatever he says because we have the same goals. Well, what's his goals? Well, his goal is for our eternal life. Well, yeah, I kind of like that goal myself. And his goal is that everybody has that opportunity for eternal life. And yeah, I hope that everybody can have that. We can share that same goal. We're devoted to him. He safely trusts in us. That we're not going, our conduct is not going to do anything that's going to bring down his name. Nothing we do or say is going to say, oh, that's a Christian. Yeah, you know, that's... That Jesus Christ guy, he must not be that good because look at his wife. And this is us. We are his wife. Our devotion and submission has to be there. Industrious. We got a whole bunch of people out there in the field working. Some of us have that responsibility of going to different places and preaching the gospel. And some of us have the responsibility to make sure that this local is taken care of. And some of us have the responsibility of bringing up children and teaching them. But the thing is, we're all working. And nobody's sitting on the couch watching soap operas eating bonbons. We're not letting somebody else do the work because there's enough work for everybody. And not expect some, well, you know what, I can take it easy because, well, Gordon will take care of that. Or Jim will take care of that. You know, those guys, will, you know, they're going to be here forever, right? No. We each have a place. We each have a responsibility, and we need to stand up and take it. Not be willing to let somebody else do the work. Willing to get up before the dawn and stay up after the dark. Doing whatever is necessary. What? For the good of our husband. For the good of Jesus Christ. For the good of our household. What's our household? This is our household. Takes care, good care of our household. That's something we kind of fall apart sometimes on. Making sure that we each take care of each other. Saying, hey, how you doing? What can I do to help? Can I pray with you? You know, if you're having a hard time, give me a call. I don't care what time of night it is. Got to take care of each other. That's the characteristic of the virtuous woman that we're supposed to be. charitable to the poor and needy? I hope so. We have a responsibility to take care of those that are less fortunate. The Book of Mormon has an explicit scripture that says, well, you know what? If you're not taking care of those that don't have the needs of this earth, it's worthless. You're not serving me. It's a characteristic of a virtuous woman. It's supposed to be a characteristic of the bride of Christ. Our communication is kind. It's discreet. It's not going behind people's back. It's being able to speak the truth in love, though. Being able to say, you know, I love you, but I disagree with you. Being able to take someone that something says, somebody says in confidence and not spreading it around. And finally, the fear of the Lord should be the foundation for us. Fear that we will displease our husband. Fear that we will displease God. The virtuous woman, the heart of her husband, does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. He's not going to be looking for somebody else to take up the ball, because he knows that we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. So I hope you understand what I mean when I say, I hope you guys become virtuous women. I hope that you can, that we can meet the needs of our Heavenly Father. You know, I'm interested in all these current events about Iraq and different things. And, what's going to happen? You know, to be honest with you, I haven't had a revelation to say one way or the other. Can't tell you what's going to happen tomorrow, let alone next week or next month or next year. But over in Revelations, in the 19th chapter, starting with the 6th verse. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the land is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. He's going to come when you have made yourself ready. When we as a people have made ourselves ready. How? By being a virtuous woman. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. I hope that you were able to get something out of this. I hope that this will give you a renewed desire to serve the Lord, to put Him first, to love Him as a husband, to submit to Him and to be devoted to Him. I thank you for your time.